I'm not a huge fan of New Year's resolutions. There's something about that new year, new me thing that just doesn't really seem fun when you actually have to be a new you. When the luster of being a New Year's resolution wears off. You know, no one asks you in June how that New Year's resolution is coming. It's just not something we do. As soon as the radio station stopped taking calls for people's New Year's resolution, we seem to forget that just a few weeks earlier we even made one of those. Some people keep resolutions, but most of us, we forget our New Year's resolutions before January is even over. And most of us forget by June that we had made one until the calendar flips to December here soon, or we're done unwrapping our presents. Do we remember, oh yeah, I was supposed to work out 4 times a week this entire year? We forget that we even made resolutions until it's time for us to make our next one. Well, today is your last day to make a New Year's resolution. Today is the last Sunday of our Christian year. Next week is the first week of Advent, which starts over the Christian calendar year. We will be done reading through Luke, and we will be on to a new series. This last Sunday in the Christian year is called Christ the King Sunday. That is what we are celebrating here today. We have spent an entire year, starting with Advent, preparing for Jesus, learning about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, his ministry. And that all leads us up, all of that study, all of those sermons, Bible studies, leads us to today, leads us to Christ the King Sunday. The purpose of today is to look back on the last year and give thanks to God for being in control. To praise Christ that he is in control, that he is sovereign. That is the purpose of today. That is what we do on this last Sunday before Advent. But I think when we look back at our last year, month, week, or day, we might be a little skeptical that this Christ of ours is the King. That this Christ of ours is truly in control when we look back at our last year. Whether Christ is in control when you get a terrible grade on a paper that you tried so hard on. Or when your best friend that you trusted with your life lies to you. Maybe in the last year you've gotten bad news during a doctor's appointment. And in those moments you're wondering, what kind of king is Christ that he lets this happen to me? Or maybe a loved one has passed away in the last year. In the last year there's been times in my life where I've started to think, who is really in control in this world? When I watch the news, I see cops and young African Americans being killed. And I wonder who's in control. Or on nights like Friday night back in my home state of Minnesota, over the course of the night, 8 inches of snow dropped with 50-mile-per-hour winds, and there's people who are sleeping under highways and outside, and I wonder, is my Christ King? Is my Christ sovereign in those times? Or when we think about the fires in Western North Carolina, are those people still picking up from the hurricanes? I think we sometimes wonder who's in control. We live in a broken world. I don't need to tell you that. We live in a world in which hate seems to be commonplace. We live in a world in which our schools are underfunded and kids go to bed hungry. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what Christ the King Sunday means to me in the midst of such a broken world. When I was 3 years old, I was attempting to play baseball with my two older brothers and their friends. My brothers were 7 and 9 at the time, and so my job as the little annoying brother was to pick up the tennis balls as they were being hit or missed. I was the designated catcher. Well, I'm not sure exactly what happened, but I was bending over to pick up a tennis ball just as my brother Luke pitched it. He must not have seen me, and his friend who swung didn't miss. This 9-year-old boy made contact with the left side of my skull with a metal bat. I was knocked out, and all I remember is getting back to my house, which was 50 yards away from where we were playing. I don't remember anything. And I think the best part of this story is that my parents decided that I didn't need to go to the hospital that day. There was no blood. I seemed to have stopped crying. And if I've learned anything, if there's no blood and there's no crying, I'm probably fine. So we just went on with our lives as if a 9-year-old didn't just bash in my head with a baseball bat. Till a few days later when my dad was combing my hair and the left side of my skull squished in entirely. That was the moment they decided maybe we should go see a doctor. The doctor said that my skull was crushed in and they need to do surgery to put titanium plates in my skull to hopefully re-expand it to its normal shape. I was 3 years old when this happened. Now I want you to understand that this is not a story to show my faith. This is not a testimony about how God has worked in my life. That's not what this is. Most of what happened, I don't remember. I was 3. From stories from my brothers and my parents. This is rather a story of my family's belief that Christ is truly King. Because there's my family waiting in the hospital, and they're praying for strength. They are praying that God will be with the surgeon and nurses as their 3-year-old son has his head operated on. They knew the surgeons would do everything in their power, but they needed hope. They needed hope in the one who is in control to be able to sit in that waiting room that day. They prayed not only that I would make it through, but they prayed that there would be no permanent brain damage, something that the doctors couldn't control that day. I can't even imagine what they were feeling like in those moments, but they had hope that Christ was truly in control. And a week later, I left that hospital with 5 titanium plates in my skull. And if I didn't have such long hair, you would be able to see a huge scar across the entire left side of my head. To this day, my parents recall those days and weeks, and they give all the glory to God for helping them remember who was in control. Our scripture shows us today why my parents put all their hope in Jesus, that he was in control. They had faith that everything would turn out, even in the midst of darkness. It is because our King came down from his throne, lived with us, suffered with us. He ate with beggars. He went days without food and lived and slept in uncomfortable places. He was not the King anyone expected, but our scripture for today shows us that by going to the cross, in dying for our sins, he was beginning the process of reconciling the world to God. He began the process on the cross of making the kingdom of heaven that is freely, freely given to us. He is making the kingdom and asks us to be inheritors of this kingdom with him. Listen to what Colossians 1, 15 through 20 says about Jesus, our powerful King. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. If the picture of Jesus you get is one of not a king who is worthy to be in control, then you didn't just listen to those last five verses. He is the image of God. He makes the invisible visible. Everything on earth was not only created by Jesus, but for Jesus. This king who we know died on a cross is so powerful. So much so that everything is under his control because he is the firstborn of creation. If we've learned anything about inheritance in that time, the firstborn got everything. Jesus gets this whole world and asks us to be co-inheritors with him. Asks us to be a part of this kingdom that he is going to rule. And the best part that gives me hope, even when I look at the brokenness in this world, even when I think other people are in control, is that Jesus is starting to reconcile the world to himself. Now, what does this mean for us in a broken world? Well, it means that we can celebrate that Christ is King because we know he is working to make everything that is wrong with the world right. He is working in every moment to bring about the kingdom of heaven. As Romans 8, 28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for good, for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Even in the broken moments of our last years and of our lives, God is working for good. I believe that this should be the church's New Year's resolution. I believe the church needs to remember that Christ is King, that Christ is at work in all moments to bring justice, that Christ is at work in this broken world. Even when life stinks, and it does, and even when it seems like God isn't in control, we have the hope found in the resurrection that Jesus is at work each and every day. If we truly believe this, I believe the church can make a serious change in this world. I believe if you can truly say that God is in charge no matter what, and that we're invited into the kingdom with him, we can make a difference. We can, with all the confidence in the world and with all the strength and effort, work to love. Work to love. Because Jesus loved us first, and Jesus is in this world loving people. We can work to bring about peace because Jesus right now is working to bring about peace. We can work to feed the hungry because Jesus is out there feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and loving the outsider. We're fighting a winning battle. We're fighting a winning battle if we believe and act as though Christ is truly King. Because our Christ went to the cross. Because our Christ is working to heal the brokenness in this world. So in every act of love, we can shout the praises of Jesus. And this doesn't mean that no bad things are going to happen. I know that. I know that, but that's because Jesus' work isn't done yet. My hope is that the church looks back on all the lessons of Jesus we have learned about and takes this New Year's resolution. The resolution that because Christ is the King, we can, with full confidence and joy, work towards healing the world and loving everyone, all things that were created for Jesus and by Jesus. It's a winning battle. It's a winning battle. My hope for the church in this new year is that we remember that God is truly in control and that we act like it, that we act like God is in control in our lives. That's a New Year's resolution I want people to bug me about, even in June. I want people to ask me if I still believe God is in control no matter what. I want people to remember that because Christ is in control and that Christ is working in every moment, we have the hope that in someday this broken world will be healed. This broken world will be set straight. We can come along with Jesus on this winning battle. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, as we enter into this new season, this new Advent season, as we prepare to welcome your Son, Jesus Christ, into our world once again, may we remember that Jesus is always in our world, that Jesus is here each and every day, walking beside us, working through us, and loving all people. May we as a church, as the body of Christ, work to bring about this kingdom of heaven. Because it's going to happen, O Lord. We know it is. We know that you will heal this broken world. And you ask us to be a part of that. And we humbly come, O Lord. Amen.